Welcome to the Mindfulness Monday podcast. I'm your host, Carly Jean Puck, and as a member of the local Mental Health Advisory Council in Cook County, Minnesota, I'm passionate about promoting mental well-being. Every Monday, we delve into the world of mindfulness and discover practical techniques to cultivate a more mindful and balanced existence, making it make sense for your daily life. Rotating between short practices and interviews with folks whose work intersects with mindful living. Time to get more mindful. Thank you for joining me. I'm really excited to get to chat with you today.
I love being here. Thank you for having me.
So we are on the Mindfulness Monday podcast here to talk a little bit about how to be mindful in this world. But I would love to start with, what work do you do in our world? Can you share listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm a mental health therapist and a mental health coach, and I really specialize in helping people to do the brain work for resolving symptoms of anxiety, depression, and traumatic stress. And the brain has a very beautiful way of resolving symptoms, and it's very fast when it can do its work. And there are reasons why the brain cannot resolve symptoms, and that reason is what I help people unblock. And it's really nice to be on this podcast talking about mindfulness, because that's a piece of the puzzle I put together to really help the brain complete its process with resolving symptoms of anxiety, depression, and traumatic stress, and then also building in the health and wellness that we're looking for mentally, emotionally. And so it's pretty wonderful work.
Yeah, it sounds incredible, which everything you said in my brain, I'm like, okay, there's 1,000 questions after that. So let me tease through some of those. But I would love to know how you got into this work to start with.
I got into this work because I probably spent the first 19 years of my life pretty dissociated. And I didn't know that. I'm telling the story from hindsight. I had a pretty good time. I was an athlete. I was very engaged with my body, but not a lot of awareness. And I come from a family of quite a bit of generational trauma. And we just had lots of symptoms of anxiety, depression, and complex PTSD. And one of those were that just very disconnected. And gosh, there are 1,000 things to say in this piece, but I'm going to nerd out for a moment. I was experiencing a lot of alexithymia, which I know that's what it is now. I didn't know what it was then, but that's the inability to put thoughts and feelings into words. That's an aspect of complex PTSD. You don't even know about emotions to talk about them. And so I had this compulsion to journal. And so I was just writing, and I was finally just, I just feel so, and then my brain was like, oh, you feel frustrated. Oh, I feel frustrated. And so it was like, I unknowingly was wiring my brain for words, my life experience for words. And so that was just the beginning of getting in touch with myself. And then I had a mental breakdown, a pretty big mental health crisis after the birth of my third child. And I was just so confused. And I'm very intelligent. I have degrees. So I really couldn't understand why I was confused and why this was so difficult. And someone handed me an intervention and I started using it, and I just started resolving symptom after symptom. And a key component of that intervention is a little bit of mindfulness, just a smidge, just enough to dip your toe in and rock and roll, right? Yeah. That just started me learning more and more advanced ways to tune in and gather all this rich information from the body that had never made it through the brain's healing process. Once we can start processing things, it goes through like the past the survival system is the whole prefrontal cortex and all the executive functioning in our brain. It's like little stations up there, a little factory. You go, a little bit of a body sensation gets through the process and goes through the first one, and it gets stamped with a date, a time stamp. Like the brain figures out for the first time when this occurred. And then all of a sudden it goes through another part of the brain. Now there are words for it. It's, oh, it's this. And now, and then there's insights, and then there's sorting, and then there's understanding, and then there's understanding different perspectives. And by the time the brain is done with just a small little bit of material, there's so much more insight, and our maps of the world, internal maps of the world, are more accurate and better. And then we start functioning better. We start navigating our world better. And there's so many ways to do this. To help the mind-body system, there's all these body things like acupuncture and all these different things. But mindfulness is just one of the is really a great route into
Right.
this, where we're using the conscious mind to do it, where instead of using needles, we're using our conscious mind. Most of us aren't going to learn needlework, but we can learn how to use our prefrontal cortex, our thinking center, our awareness, and our focus to help our brain accomplish some really big tasks, like ending flashbacks, resolving phobias, deepening intimacy, rewiring the entire intimacy program, right? A lot of our intimacy programming subconsciously is programmed before our first 7 years. And a lot of us, that's a time when there's a lot of trauma in families. So those programs are really not fabulous. And mindfulness really can get in here and be one of the tools. I'm going to finish saying that, but it's one of the tools that can really, we can master to do some really big work. Because I specialize in helping people recover from anxiety, depression, and traumatic stress, I also combine interventions that work specifically with the survival system, because that part of the brain is what stops healing from happening. And we can be mindful all we want, and we're bringing up all this rich information from the body, but if it can't get past the survival system, it's not going to matter, and it's just going to hurt. Which is why we learn to tune out, because we're like, oh, we got to not be being very mindful. The less mindful we are, the less we're running this program that doesn't work and we're causing pain. And so that's, and I would love to talk more about that as this goes, but we're training ourselves away from mindfulness because this process is impaired. And so when I combine another intervention that targets, that speaks to the survival system in its native language, it doesn't do words or reason or logic. And so we have to speak to it in its language to send those messages of safety that it's looking for, to know, hey, we can let this mindfulness stuff come through, and now it can go through the little factory, getting all the stamps and creating our health and wellness, right? And so I combine the both. I have theories. I don't work with people that aren't struggling with symptoms of anxiety, depression, or traumatic right. stress. But I think without it, what if that processing function is like nicely wired, which is what I'm helping people do. I suspect that they don't need the extra piece as often as people who have already an impaired processing ability. So I think that all these practices with mindfulness are fabulous. And then we're automatically bringing in things like breathing exercises, which absolutely that survival system loves that. So intuitively making all these connections that the brain needs to be able to complete its work, which is beautiful.
It feels like a return to what our bodies want to be doing.
That's right.
Instead of, I keep thinking about this a lot in conversations, really, of whether it's taking care of the planet or taking care of our brain. It's like these return to practices that are yeah. just really, it feel primal. These
absolutely
connecting ways to feel into our bodies, to feel connected to the people around us, to feel connected to the ground underneath us. It doesn't feel like anything new, actually. It feels like home more.
Yeah.
than anything when diving in. I appreciate all of your visuals and the factory, because that is so helpful. But I'm wondering, because you mentioned your own experience and how you got there with your own history of generational trauma and being disassociated, but I feel like there's so much of that as a universal experience for people
Absolutely.
In 2024 that we're disassociated, we're not connected in a mind-body way. And there's 1,000 answers to this as well. But what do you think some of those reasons are that it's so common to be
yeah.
disconnected from our minds and our bodies?
I think it speaks to what you were talking about with that primal coming home. Our design evolved like way back in the cave days. And the part of the brain that stops healing from happening doesn't evolve. Like it hasn't changed. As a matter of fact, since we were babies, that part of the brain doesn't change. And it requires safety signals in order to relax and start up and allow to function all the healing processes in our brain, in our mind, in our body. And so if it's, no, we need to survive everything, it overrides everything and shifts us into that survival state. That is not a healing, resting, digesting, wellness, thriving state. That is not higher level reasoning. That is not seeing things from multiple perspectives. It's a way of, I don't know if this is good, but we're going to live. So we're going to do it anyway.
Because it's gotten us here.
Because it's gotten us here. And it's the best I can do because I don't have access to the other parts of my brain right now. And I'm not relaxed enough to sit back and do some cooperation internally to do it. So we're just going to take over here and we're going to run the survival programs. And that's going to happen, period, regardless. If that part of the brain gets triggered by something it perceives as a threat, is a real threat, was a threat 5-16 generations ago, it's a threat. And we can yell at our brain all we want to. We can argue with it. We can, that part of the brain is not listening. It doesn't care. It's only listening to the body. And so in the body, it wants to know from the body, are we safe? Are we not safe? Send me the signals, body, send me the signals. Right. And the body is sending information. It's not discriminating. It's sending all the sensory information outside of our body and inside of our body. And so if that information registers as positive, we're good. Ah, okay. We're living. So we'll let the higher functioning go on. If that same sensory information registers as pain of any kind, social pain, emotional pain, physical pain, we're going into a survival state instantly. So what we are doing when we have babies, right? I'm going back to this is how we are wired. And we need to take this into consideration. If when you come out of the womb, you hit some air that your body does not know if you're going to survive or not. And you're in a survival state, you're screaming, you're opening your lungs, you're doing all these kinds of things. But they usually grab you and rock you and get you in a warm blanket. And all of a sudden they're patting your back and rocking you and you're on mom and hopefully, and you're nursing and, or you've got some food going on, you're doing a sucking thing. All that stuff signals safety to the survival part of the brain, because the survival part of the brain is listening for safety and pats on the back, all this touch, all this, you're okay. All of the sounds that we're making, these soothing sounds, they are our native language for healing.
Wow.
And we're also talking about right, left movements, right? Swaying back and forth, rocking forward and backwards. All this stuff is brain talk for you're safe. These are things you do not do when you're chased by a lion. And so we're also talking about, gosh, what else do people do with each other? Hugging. Okay. So now let's take this tribal, right? Let's go tribal for a moment. What we'd have is we'd have these hunts. We'd have all these dangerous things happen. We'd survive the lions chasing us. We'd get to the fire. We'd have a bonfire. We'd play some music. We're touching each other. We're rocking. We're watching the fire. And we're doing probably some EMDR with the eye movements, moving everywhere, watching the fire dance, right? We're doing all these things that signal safety to our survival system.
Yeah.
And it hasn't changed. We need those things in. And so the interventions I use are tapping intervention, meridian based. I teach some breathing exercises with some tapping. I do EMDR. I do the eye movement piece because we're using the body to send signals of safety to that specific part of the brain. And once that part of the brain receives those safety signals, instantly, it starts regulating and shifting open to processing mode. And all that information about all the tigers we escaped and all of the situations that we had, all of a sudden that makes it up to all the other parts of the brain, and they're learning about the world, and they're up there planning our next adventure. And they're like, oh my gosh, we're going to need to do this a little bit better. We're going to need to do that a little better. Why don't you say something? You know, we'll get the words working over here, right? And now they're up there doing all this stuff behind the scenes, because they're fast and this is an electrical process. And the next thing they're like, oh, let's make a new program for this. And then we'll send that back down to the body, wire it up, load it and run it. And then we'll notice on the outside, we don't understand all these processes, that we're getting better, that we're growing, and that we're connecting more, we're communicating better. And that all happens because the survival system allowed all the information through during those times of rest, digest, comfort, soothing. And so those pieces, how much soothing are we talking about here in our cultures? What are we talking about this in school? Are we talking, this is a massive piece of human design that has been omitted since we're so fabulously attached to TVs and modern, and we're so hyper independent.
We're supposed to be able to do everything for ourselves on our own, when really, right, since the beginning, and especially from what you're just saying, community is a signal, yes, of safety.
It's a signal of safety. And guess what? If you're having a panic attack and you get the right intervention on, which could be a hug, it could be a pat on the back, it could be in tapping, could be, all of a sudden it's gone. But are we touching each other anymore since COVID, right? It's even our brains have started to think touching is dangerous. So we're in a place where things are wired a little bit differently than they were designed. So we're going to need to get creative, but we still need to have the basics of that part of the brain is looking for the body's information. This is why eating works. because we're using the body. This is why drugs work, because we're using the body to send signals of safety, and it works. And it, if it didn't work, we wouldn't be doing it. Right. Because we desperately need to get regulated. We cannot stay in a survival state. It's too expensive. It's costly. And so we have to do things to bring it down. And in these, in our families where there's not a lot of soothing and there's a lot of disconnection, there's not touching, there's not comfort. We're reaching for some other things that are not natural to us, or not that are, that have some negative side effects that we don't necessarily know how to mitigate. And hey, it sucks, but it's working and I'm alive. Live to fight another day.
For some folks, especially surviving trauma, or just we're constantly triggered into that state all day. Like you said, with yes. technology, with what's going on in the world, with what we are being signaled to, we are not safe. And I guess if we don't come home and have a practice that's safe after that overstimulation, you're just yeah. never resolved.
Yeah. And we're not using our highest level of reasoning. We're not using our most creativity. And really that we are overstimulated. We are overwhelmed. We are walking around in survival modes. And they're probably the majority of us on the planet are in this state. And yeah. and that's a lot of what I get with from my clients is we have to regulate their nervous system. We have to retrain it to see things as safe. And you don't have conversations about this. You can talk to the brain about you're safe all day long. You actually have to do the brain work to get the brain to figure, go through its process of figuring out if we're safe or not. And I like to teach this in the moment. I like to give people the tools in the moment that work the fastest that I've found. And that crying is fabulous. It works. It's a great intervention, but you got all these side effects. You've got your eyes are puffy. The society is not loving crying right now. And so I like to hand them some interventions that can help their brain figure out and decide quickly, are we safe or are we not safe? I thought we were safe. Tap, tap, tap. Oh, okay. You could suck your thumb in public. This would really work. This would be fabulous. And, but
can you
most
say
people
a little bit
do
about
that.
Why
it's signaling safety.
Okay. It's okay. The same primal.
Yeah, absolutely. It's primal safety. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why we have adults still sucking their thumb. And I encourage people to go ahead, do it as much as you want, because we need more nervous system regulation. Yes. I'm going to hand you some more tools. Yes. Probably you're going to not need that anymore. You're going to just find yourself not sucking your thumb anymore. And you're going to, because the more our brain practices soothing and the more we have a broad variety of them, the more we outgrow things. The brain, this process of regulating is also the process of resolving symptoms of anxiety, depression, traumatic stress. It's also the same process the brain uses for growth, for maturation and mastery. And so if we're getting any of this material through the process, we're getting all of those things. And wow. So it's really huge. So we're growing, we're learning from our environment faster. We're moving on. This is key to when you're in a toxic relationship, you want your processor processing because unconsciously your brain thinks this is the exact place you need to be. And it's true. Brains do believe this. And you want it to gather the information and process it and be done with this as soon as possible so that you move on. And this is why people return, because they actually didn't get the lesson that they needed. And their brain still wants to usually create some aspect of their unresolved childhood home. But if we're processing these things, we're outgrowing things, we're outgrowing relationships, we're outgrowing, gosh, I've outgrown one of my little fun addictions, reading novels obsessively. And I'm still feeling a little grief about that. But I know that there will be something.
I'm sorry
new.
For your loss.
But I started using some EMDR with it because I'm like, this is a little, I love that we're self-soothing, but it's a little excessive and we're not getting our stuff done. We're here for a reason. Let's put on, I teach some passive intervention use. So that part of the brain is constantly and passively getting that signal of safety. So I said, I'm going to do that with my book reading the next time I'm there. And so I did. I got all these epiphanies and insights of why I'm reading. And then my brain was like, so bored. And then it's like next adventures. But this is how we outgrow addictions. This is how I teach people to outgrow addictions, because it's just the root need is regulation. And so if we're really hitting that right and helping that brain be able to shift into a regulated state without these in a way that's not also causing harm, because there's no known side effects to most of my interventions. It's just the brain figures out, why are we hurting ourselves like this? Yeah, we liked this regulating factor, but we can get it over here too without the hangover the next morning. And the brain will just naturally make the shift because your brain is the one thing on the planet designed for your highest good and to make your life a pleasurable place for you and to create solutions for you. Nobody else here is for that. And unfortunately, sometimes we wire our children differently or we have been wired to our brain's been rewired to please other people. We can fix that. That resolves, especially if this processor is processing. All of a sudden, your own brain is like, what are we doing here? We don't even like this. We just got information that we really feel disgusted by this entire thing and unsatisfied. And then pretty soon they're making corrections and shifts, and we're naturally working our way out of these situations and into situations that we're receiving more pleasure, more satisfaction, more fulfillment, more connection.
Getting those signals and those messages from our brains all the time, but it's, are we able to hear it yet?
Yes.
Right. It feels like that very, I just feel like my brain's been like, girl, I have been trying. And 15 years later, you're like, oh, wait.
Oh, no,
I got it. I get it. No, we're good. I understand now. And I just imagine she's up there exhaling. Oh.
It can take 15 years.
Right.
And it can take a whole, we have people with the same symptoms. They live their entire life like that. Like if this process is impaired, it's really impaired. Wow. It's impaired for a whole lifetime. And so we really want to be intentionally, we think time will heal. Time does not heal. Brain function heals. Ooh. Sometimes in time, the things that the brain needs to heal will show up, but why don't we just intentionally hand it and let's do it now, so that we don't have to do the 15-year plan. Maybe there's something complex. Maybe it's a month plan. Maybe if you're overhauling your life and your marriage, maybe it's a couple of years. Right. Just the depth of rewiring that needs place. That doesn't mean we're miserable until that 3-year mark.
Right. That part is what I was, you read my mind. Cause I was like, I want to make sure people don't think that's 15 years of awful work.
No, it's when people start using these interventions, they're like, is this magic? And I'm like, no, this is healthy brain. This is what your brain's supposed to be doing. This is our design. And I had a client just the other day. She's, you know what? I had an argument with my husband and I didn't have the rage that I usually have. And I actually had some compassion for him. It was really weird. This is happening fast. This is like our fourth session. But it's like brains, it is trying. And that's really what I teach people to do, is listen to their brain. Their brain is saying things, looping things that the brain is saying, hey, I need some help here. I've been trying to resolve this on my own and I can't. So I'm bringing this to your awareness over and over again, because I'm neurotic and I can't stop until I finish this. Thank you. And so really in there, I help them grab these loops and get them processed. Flashbacks, same thing. Those are healing functions. The brain is trying to heal, and then it's trying to get you to help it to heal, but it's terrifying you. So you're running the other direction. And now we're not doing the healing dance. We're doing my brain's chasing me dance. And so really empowering people to turn to their brain and help it do the healing work it's asking them to do. And it's true. Our brain is constantly talking with us about what it needs to do, how to get where we want to go. We're like, no, we want to go that way. I know I'm trying to get that way, but I have these things I need to resolve first. We need to go. So it's like this inner division, this inner conflict. And it's like, when we learn that it doesn't take long to help the brain and we can be very successful very quickly and easily. We don't even have to be smart. We don't even have to be creative. We just need to like get that part of the brain, the signals it needs, and it does the rest. There are masters back there or up there. And we can rely on them. We don't have to be smarter than them. We're not smarter than them, right? So we really don't want to be fighting them. We want to be working together as a team so that we get this synergy and these creations that are way bigger than what we could have done just braining, just muscling it out, thinking it through. There's so much more here.
And in terms of just using the brain for our advantage, I have experience doing EMDR for some of my own trauma. And I had the same experience of like, how did that happen so fast? Now I'm okay. And not that I wasn't before, but it really just, the perspective shift was so monumental and so fast. But I also have recently been learning more and more. I've gotten into tapping and doing some of that work and using scripts around things like, what if I'm anxious to grow in my business?
Yeah.
What
For
if
real?
I'm anxious to have more money? Or some of these things that maybe we don't necessarily connect to trauma, probably is, right?
Yeah, it is.
Probably is.
Not necessarily just trauma, but conditioning, subconscious programming,
social conditioning,
and
yeah.
stuff that hasn't been processed yet or
Right, or
processed
examined.
again. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've been even thinking about it in that way of like, I can hold more for my own career and business, and I can use tapping and the brain
Yes.
to
Yes.
rewire that. So I think it's
Absolutely.
for listeners, it's all of it. The talking about brain health and talking about utilizing kind of the power and what mindfulness practices can unlock is whether it is big T trauma or whether it is the conditioning that we're just sick of. The patterns that we're sick of, the
Yes.
things that you get stuck on that you're like, I don't
Yes.
even want to be thinking this anymore. But how?
And the I want to grow and I feel so small and I'm stuck and I'm
Yes.
yes, all of that stuff. It's our brain is it's one of its jobs is to help us reach our dreams and our goals. And it's if it's not doing that, what's up, brain? What do you need? And it's like when you can and really for me, the symptoms of anxiety, depression, traumatic stress, anxiety being even tiny, small, nuanced things like maybe fluttering in the stomach or just a little bit of an elevated heart rate or just someone leaning back in a conversation. Some of these things are when you open up some of this stuff, they go, there are so many tricks to get to the original memory where this occurred and when we learned that it was dangerous to have more. And it's fascinating what you find because it doesn't always make logical sense, but when you get in there and you do the processing, it absolutely makes emotional sense and why your brain would be keeping you here. And why it can't help you grow your comfort zone out to include more money, more success, right? And its job is to keep growing the comfort zone and to reduce the comfort zone. There's a lot of things we're comfortable with that we should not be comfortable with, right? And so the brain needs it like, let's go, let's get accurate. Let's figure that out. What is this? Why are we still holding space for this? And you can, one of the end products of working with clients is I want to see them in desire-based living. When I get them, they're in fear-based living. When they leave, they need to be in desire-based living. And in the along the journey, we're doing the healing work because we need to unhook the brain from all these problems it hasn't resolved because it keeps going back to problems over neurotically, right? It will never stop. It will never stop until it resolves what it needs to resolve to help for you have your health and wellness. So we just hunker down there and help it get what it needs. And then we're like, hey, I desire this. Can you go get me that? Can you help me manifest this, create this, work towards this? And so we'll do a couple of those and really we'll run into the obstacles the brain is running into and use these same strategies in there to help the brain resolve those. And then it's moving forward and people, you'll watch people get farther and farther. An example of this was I had this artist who had a lot of trauma and her arms would go numb when she went to her to do paintings. She was having somatic distress. And so I have a lot of mind maps and things I teach people how to do. I have a lot of strategies. And so we'd done a lot of work. We're ready to go to the desire. And the first obstacle was the arms. So we get in there and float back to this traumatic memory, resolve that, move forward. There's actually only, I think it was like the numbness stopped at her wrist or something like that. And so we worked through that. And work through the next thing. And then there was body stuff. And then next thing you know, she's painting. And it was just years of not being able to paint. And then we see back at it. It has to do with how brains function. It has to do with, can our brain help us reach our desires? If not, let's get it unblocked and get it moving forward. It doesn't have to be a long process. And a lot of times people think it's me. It's because I'm lazy. It's because, no, actually, it's not you at all. It's really... your brain cannot do it. It can't help you there. It's stuck. It's snagged on something. It's not processing something. Let's get that processed and then see. And it's really cool because as people see that it's brain function, it's so much, there's so much less shaming and the shame spirals. Like people have habits of shame spiraling and which you know, we will work on directly, but actually as they start to watch their brain work, they just are like, let me just help this instead of, let me take the left to the shy spiral of shame. Let me just do a little bit of this and oh, there we go. We're off and running. So we're rebuilding their relationship with their own self, which is so empowering because really at the end of the day, if we're more connected and united with our own self, what is better than that?
I love that So much, especially taking some of that shame out of it. I didn't fail. I'm not a bad person. I didn't do anything
Right.
wrong. This is a natural response. My brain's actually doing the right thing.
Yes.
This is a valid response to all of the stuff that's happening around me, or happened to me, or happened with me, or whatever that is. That does take some of that shame out of it and goes, okay, just how do I, then how do I work on this?
Yeah.
Then how do I just
Really?
fix this?
Yeah. And shame processing is helpful. It's a pain that the pain of shame really can knock brains out really quickly. It's really, it's part of our design, right? Our design is to stay in the pack. And shame is intense social pain. If you're going to be shamed, don't do it. And so our survival system is like listening to shame. Oh, we don't want to get thrown out of the pack. And it's, we need to overhaul that. And it's a very primal thing. And we're not going to logic or reason with it. It's really, it's way deeper than that. And why don't we just let our brain work on that a little bit? Let's just feel into the shame. Let's pay attention to it. Let's be mindful of the shame and use an intervention or cry a little bit or both and be done.
Yeah. If people are listening to this and they're like, okay, mindfulness, brain health, I'm in. I think this is something I need to think about or dive into, but I'm intimidated or whatever it is. What do you tell people who are like, okay, I think I need to start looking into this mindfulness or looking into how to heal some of these things for myself?
I say learn an intervention and that guides you into it. I have a free program where I teach people my three favorite interventions. And with these, there's a mindfulness component. This is what I say. And I just say, try it. It takes 30 seconds. If your body likes it, you'll know. If you don't know, try it again for another 4 or 5 times on trial it on different challenges you have. I did one once with this man who was mad at his boss. And so we just tried some EFT on it and some tapping. And next thing, he wasn't mad. And then he had these new insights. And I don't know. I really don't know that he was all that impressed because I was just doing a party trick. But and then sometimes you're using it and you're like, maybe it's because I distracted myself. Actually, the studies show that these points are different when you have people tap on the points and not on the points. There is a shift. The people that tap on these points have much higher success rates and resolving things, and distracting just shifts things out. And we actually want to shift things in and get them processed. And right. So when you shift things out, they just take another loop through the body and then they come up later.
And for right? listeners, we're talking about tapping. There are meridian points along our body and there are
yes.
grips to go along with it. And you tap at
yes.
these certain points
yeah.
to work on removing some of these blocks, just for context.
Right. And when I teach emotional freedom techniques, I throw out the scripts. I throw out the scripts because I feel like there are not words that describe the body sensations well enough.
Interesting.
Because it's body material and limiting. And so I just have people pay attention to the actual sensations and tap. Sometimes the subconscious mind wants to come in and play and they're seeing images of themselves at 4, right? I want you to pay attention to that because there's so much information in the subconscious material that can, that if you use words, it's limiting. And then a lot of my clients are like, I don't know what word to do. It's great. If there's only, there's, it's using scripts are one way of being mindful. They help you cue up that, you know, some very specific things that can be really helpful. I've had times where I want to hear all the scripts and I go follow my little favorite person on YouTube and do the scripts. Because I want those words, but for the majority of this work, we want to customize and tailor it to the self and your specific symptoms and how it's presenting for you. And where is that fear in your body? Where is that shame showing up for you? So it makes it even easier to do that intervention when we bring in other forms of mindfulness,
right?
Or other ways of being mindful.
What practices do you rely on, maybe even just right now, that help you live a more mindful life?
I really like EMDR music right
Mm.
now. That's my jam. And because I can just put them in when I'm doing a workout.
Yeah.
I have a lot of stress. I have 5 children. I have 2 businesses. I have a husband. I have 2 dogs, right? A lot. And I'm not going to pretend any longer that I don't have stress because I was very dissociated from that. I thought I was just fine.
Same.
So now I'm building in stuff to help my brain process the everyday stress that I have. And I've been doing that for a while. I'm thrilled with the results. And I'm combining a workout. Our brain is always working for us. It's, let me help you out. Let me just put this on here. Let's amplify this. I really like that. I've gone through times in my life where I'm journaling. The amount of peace in my brain is wild. And actually, when I first started, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I don't know. I was like, in the beginning of this journey, I was like, I just want a quiet mind. And now that my mind is, I'm like, but now right. I'm really enjoying it. And there's so many things you can do and not do.
That right.
It's really wonderful. So I'm not journaling. I like a tapping. I'll do a collarbone breathe once in a while. I teach that intervention. That's my favorite trauma processing intervention is collarbone breathing. Yeah. Oh, and I've been playing around with different, I love energy medicine practices. I will jump on an energy medicine practitioner's table anytime. And I've been enjoying fascial stretching, which is a totally different way of processing trauma and just caring for the body that has been wonderful to me. And I encourage all this stuff with my clients to be very conscious, mindful work, but there's so many other ways bodies heal traumas and emotions and process things. Let's get them. You don't have to do all this work. And a lot of times, so one of our issues is that we just haven't had enough support. And so a lot of times if I can send my clients to multiple people, your acupuncturist, your, if they don't like it, they don't like it. But if they want massage, if they want, these relationships can be healing in and of themselves. Even just being touched by other people, right? Yeah, I love these interventions, but just go be safely, supportively held and touched and talked to by another person. It's transformational. Who's regulated in their nervous system. It's beautiful. And so I like all those things. And then I've been playing with different frequency music. And which is interesting for me because I would be overstimulated by music. And if you had told me I would like bilateral music, I would, no. And I put some on, my mom convinced me to try these and I put them on and my nervous system was like, oh. And I was like, who are you? Who are you even? I can't stand people. It's like these sounds knock me out. And now I'm listening to different sounds and it's just, my brain is wiring for sounds right now. So who knew?
I so appreciate the way this whole conversation, but the way you talk about things is just this exploratory journey.
Yeah.
It's so comforting and feels so approachable to be like, okay, let's see what's going on in the brain. Let's see what's going on in our body. I guess this is actually something that's working for me now. That's new. Okay. Let's not judge or care, but let's follow that path. I just appreciate it feeling like a journey, and your description of it that way, it makes it seem so much more approachable, at least to me.
Yeah. And I really have learned, I work with people with pretty massive disorders. Often it's fun when I get a simple situation or when somebody's ready for dream life creation work, that's fun. But I really, when you get all this complex tangle, they can be so overwhelmed. But what really the deal is, we're going to find a couple root issues and the brain's going to reorganize. And then we're going to look at it again. And we're going to find a couple more root issues and it's going to organize. Like, we don't have to do all this work. The brain has to do all this work. That's who should be overwhelmed. And it's not. It's, oh, this is going to be amazing. We're going to work on a day and night and day while you're sleeping in the dreams. We're going to, like, they're having a blast. It's us that we have to deal with this. So yeah. We only have to do a couple of projects and then all of a sudden everything becomes more simple. And so I really don't feel that it needs to be intimidating. I understand that it is. I've been there. Having done this so much and so often, it's never as much work for us as it looks like it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me. Is there anything you want to share with listeners that I haven't given you space to do?
Not only do I have the free program where I'm like, here, try these interventions. I actually have made available my entire process for resolving disorders. It's an 8-week program and it's the same program I use for my therapy clients and my coaching clients. And this, not just resolving disorders, but also it's called inner world transformation because it's really transforming, supporting your brain to do the work it wants to do. Mm. including getting you to your dreams. And it really teaches people how to work with their thoughts. What's your brain saying when these things are going on? And what do you do with it? How do you support the brain here? What about the subconscious programming? Okay, you want to wire in something different, pull out some generational patterns, put in stuff for your highest good. This is how you do it. And how do you use the body to gather all this information? This is how you do it. So I walk people through that, and then really teaching them how to put it all together to do even more directed, specific, and targeted work, and just heal and grow. And it's so foundational, I find. It's not the same as going and doing some EMDR sessions. We're just going deep into, which EMDR sessions are really great for processing traumas and things like that, but really going deep into how the brain is, how we're connected with our brain, how we're wired, learning how to support the brain, getting to know it, unifying, like there's, it's really foundational and a wonderful way to spend 8 weeks of your time.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for asking. This was such a wonderful conversation. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to an episode of the Mindfulness Monday podcast. If you're enjoying this podcast, you can help us get it into the ears of more listeners by rating and reviewing it wherever you're listening on your favorite platform. Contact WTIP and let them know that you enjoy the podcast so we can keep creating content like this. See you next Monday.